Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paskya Tadesha Tarane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My name is Vishakha Devi Dasi. Last night I was sitting with three of my betters, my superiors, and they requested me to be servant of ceremonies today. Rather than master of ceremonies, today I'll be servant of ceremonies. So an attempt to please Jamuna Devi Dasi and His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and to serve all of you. For this morning I'll be servant of ceremonies. So I have known Jamuna Devi Dasi for many decades, and before she began any devotional activity, with great thoughtfulness and with great devotion, she would chant the prayers that Srila Prabhupada has at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. So to honor her today, and she would do that with whoever was there in unison. So to honor her today, we will all chant those prayers. Perhaps we all know them. Om Agyanata Marandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwade Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So thank you very much for coming to glorify the transcendental qualities and activities of our dear God sister, servant, unalloyed servant of Srila Prabhupada, Jamuna Devi Dasi. And I want to make a point for today that Jamuna Prabhu addressed both men and women devotees as Prabhu. So we don't mean to make a commotion or disturb anyone's minds, but today in her honor, because she did that, because that's what she learned from Srila Prabhupada. Once I asked her, did you ever hear Prabhupada address women as Mataji? And she said, no. And all my association with Srila Prabhupada, he addressed women as Prabhu. So please forgive us. I know this is not the standard now in ISKCON, but in her honor, today we will address the women and the men as Prabhu. Not to make a commotion, but just to honor her standard, which was the standard she learned from Srila Prabhupada. We will begin When Maharaj comes, he is going to lead us in the prayer, Yanila Premadana, and then he will be speaking something, Radhanath Swami. Jamuna Prabhu had great love and admiration and respect for Radhanath Maharaj from the very time that she met him many, many years ago at the Pandal in Bombay, across Maidan Pandal. And over the years, they kept up a very wonderful relationship, and her love and admiration and respect for him grew over those years. So we're very honored that Maharaj has arranged his schedule in a very difficult way for him. Just not long ago, he was in New York City. He's going to be here just for a day and a half, and then he has to go to meetings in Bombay. So, with great sacrifice, he's made this arrangement in his itinerary to be here with us to honor Jamuna Prabhu. We're very grateful for that. I first met Jamuna Prabhu when I came to Bombay in March of 1971. And at that time, I was not a devotee. In fact, I was not interested in becoming a devotee. And one of my first impressions was of seeing Jamuna Prabhu when she heard Srila Prabhupada give class. Just like now we were hearing Prabhupada give class, the knowledge and the emotion that he had for Krishna was conveyed through his words. And Jamuna would sit erect, and she would focus on Srila Prabhupada, and his words entered her ears like rivers entering an ocean. But we know that ordinarily the ocean that we're familiar with, when rivers enter into it, it does not overflow. But Jamuna Prabhu, when those rivers entered her ears and came to her, the ocean of her heart, unlike the material ocean, her heart overflowed, and tears would come down from her eyes while she was hearing Srila Prabhupada. And I had never seen anything like that before. I had never even imagined anything like that before. And just seeing her hearing Srila Prabhupada aroused in me a desire also to hear Srila Prabhupada, to try to hear what she was hearing, because the effect was so extraordinary. So from the very beginning, she was a siksha guru for me, from that time, just observing her. And over the years, that continued, that I learned from her about how to serve the spiritual master, how to apply your mind, your intelligence, whatever assets you have in his service, selflessly, without material motivation. And also in observing her hearing, one would wonder, well, what is the result of hearing with rapt attention? Because she was, in fact, the personification of rapt attention. And I could see later on we went, my husband and I, we came here to Vrindavan. This is before this temple was here, before Prabhupada's servants, Prabhupada's disciples were here. We were just visiting. And Jamuna would come sometimes with her husband, Gurudas. And once when she came, we met with her, and she and I sat up to our necks in the Jamuna River, like the buffalo do. And she would tell me about her love for Srila Prabhupada, about what she had learned from him, about how his teachings had transformed her life. And again, I knew nothing and I had no taste, but seeing her taste, seeing her love so greatly impacted me and gave me the courage to change my life. It was so attractive. And then after that, all of us went to Calcutta. This is now in August of 1971. And at that time, Calcutta was in a very difficult situation. There was a war, a Bangladesh war. Calcutta, the city, was full of refugees, 1 million refugees. And the devotees in the temple are having great difficulty with their relationships, with their health, with basic things like cleanliness and prasadam. It was a very strained time. And I observed that Jamuna, she was not so affected. Because she had heard with such rapt attention, she was transported out of that very difficult situation. And that again gave me great encouragement that perhaps I could also do that. That simply by hearing, our consciousness can be transformed so we're not affected by the miseries and the suffering around us, but we're in a higher place. This is one result from the rapt attention. It transformed her heart, and then it transformed people around her also. After that, there was the first Delhi Pandal, and Srila Prabhupada had Jamuna in charge of the deity Seva. Those deities that were worshipped there in Delhi are now worshipped at Bhaktivedanta Manor, Radha Gokulananda. And Prabhupada was so pleased by the way Jamuna arranged that seva. The dresses, the outfits were gorgeous. So much so that people were so attracted, the people that attended that pandal were so attracted by the deities. And Jamuna exerted herself to such an extent that she became ill. So here again I was learning so much. It begins with a rapt attention, and one's consciousness is transformed. One is not so much affected by the inevitable miseries of this world. One devotes oneself fully to the service of the spiritual master. Now that she was sick, we were living in some ashram in Delhi, and there was a large walk-in closet there. And Jamuna lay down in that walk-in closet trying to recuperate. And once I was sitting with her, she had put on the wall around her, just in her eyesight, black and white photographs of Srila Prabhupada, so she could remember him always. And I was sitting with her, and to my surprise, she rolled over to offer prostrated obeisances, because she had seen that Srila Prabhupada was coming through the woman's ashram to visit her, to see how she was. Srila Prabhupada was reciprocating with her devotion. And she rolled over, offered her prostrated obeisances, and she said to Srila Prabhupada, "I'm always thinking of you." And Srila Prabhupada said, "I'm also thinking of you." And he saw where she was staying in this walk-in closet that had only a door, no windows. He said, "This is not a suitable place for you to recover." So he arranged another place in the ashram where she could have proper ventilation and proper care. So because of her love for Srila Prabhupada and her devotion, he reciprocated in such a wonderful way. That also was a profound experience for me, to see the love that they shared. It was not just that she loved him, but he loved her. And he took care of her, as he took care of all his disciples, reciprocating with their love. So as time went on, later on, Jamuna Prabhu and her dear friend, Dinatarani Prabhu, they moved to a place called Grant's Pass in Oregon, and they established an ashram there. And they started worshipping deities, Radha Banabihari. When Jamuna, for many years, she lived here in Vrindavan, and she was very instrumental in building this temple where we're sitting now. And she was also, Prabhupada put her in charge of organizing the deity seva here too. That was one of her many expertise, is this deity seva. So she was overseeing the creation of these deities in Jayapur. And when they made the small Radha Shyam Sundar, they made many molds of those, and she was not satisfied with so many of them. And finally, two came that she was satisfied with. One is worshipped here as the Utsava deity, Radha Shyam Sundar. And the other, Prabhupada gave her permission that those became her personal deities, Radha Banabihari. And she worshipped those deities every day with breathtaking expertise. I hope that all of you get to see photographs of them at some time, because the way that she took care of them was exquisite, simply exquisite. In fact, her whole ashram was arranged simply for their pleasure. wherever she went, including this place, Grants Pass, that I'm going to describe. It was revolutionary clean. It was revolutionary cleanliness. And every detail was looked after. If guests came, she made them feel so welcome. And you felt embraced in Krishna's love, because she had so much love for her deities and her spiritual master. So I went there. At one point, I was sent to take photographs for her cookbook, Lord Krishna's Cuisine. And I had the good fortune of spending quite some time in Grants Pass. And I was overwhelmed by the devotion there. She and Dina Tarni would sit and sing beautiful bhajans for the pleasure of their lordships, Shri Radha Bana Bihari. They would dress them so wonderfully. Later we will hear from the Padmanabha Goswami from Radharaman Temple. And Prabhupada, when Jamuna was arranging for the deity worship here, Srila Prabhupada instructed her, you go to Radharaman and you learn about deity seva there. So Jamuna did that with great attention to every aspect of the deity seva at Radharaman. She took extensive notes. She has notebooks today, how they were dressing the deities, how they were serving them, cooking for them, the different activities of the pujaris throughout the day. It's a thick book of notes of hers. So she took up that same mood in the worship of her own deities, Shri Radha Bana Bihari. And you can feel the influence of Radharaman when you see Shri Radha Bana Bihari. So I was there photographing for the cookbook, and another one of her glories was her cooking. Perhaps we are all familiar with her award-winning book, Lord Krishna's Cuisine. Every dish that she made was exquisite to look at with the garnishes, and it was also exquisite to taste. And she would present it with such love that it was a transforming experience. When she traveled in India with Srila Prabhupada, from time to time we would be invited to life members' homes. And when Prabhupada tasted something that he was especially attracted to, he would instruct Jamuna Prabhu, you go and learn how this is made. And sometimes also Srila Prabhupada himself would teach her different recipes. So she combined all these into Lord Krishna's cuisine, which was appreciated even by non-devotees, so that it won an award. After spending some time in Grants Pass, she and Dina Tarini decided that in the line of Srila Prabhupada, they should really try to preach Krishna consciousness. So at that time, they started traveling. They moved first to England, where they would enthuse the Sankirtan devotees. And then they moved back to America. They lived in Washington, D.C., in New Vrindavan, in Florida, always trying to give the sweetness and the purity of Krishna consciousness to whomever they met. And in those years of the 80s, it was a time of great tumult in our ISKCON movement. It was tumultuous. And because they were so absorbed in Prabhupada's service, in his knowledge, in his words, Dina Tarini and Jamuna Prabhu were able to see the situation clearly, understand it clearly, and be less affected by it. And those who came in their association also could get shelter from this tumultuous time in ISKCON's history. So I learned from that that we can also, in Prabhupada's service and absorbed in his mood, we can take shelter of each other when there's so many difficulties perhaps around us, as there were in that time. It's not that we have to follow blindly. Prabhupada did not want blind followers. He wanted us to use our intelligence in Krishna's service. And that example was also there with Jamuna Prabhu. So we are fortunate Radhanath Swami has now come, one so dear to Jamuna's heart. So we will ask Maharaj please to lead us in the prayer, Yaya Nilo Premadana, and then to please speak something in glorification of our wonderful God sister, wonderful devotee, Jamuna Devi Dasi. Hare Krishna. Oh, okay, sure.
Do you have the words for the song?
Yes.
Okay. Jamuna Prabhu is being honored by a book that's organized by her friend, Dina Tarani, her friend of many years. We have a brochure about that. We will pass out now, along with the words for the prayer that Maharaj will be singing.
Jaya Nilo Premadhana Karuna Prachu Jaya Nilo Premadhana Karuna Prachu Heno Prabhu Kotha Gela Achaya Thaku
Heno Prabhu Kotha Gela Achaya Thaku
Mora Swarup Rupa Kaha Sanatha Mora Swarup Rupa Kaha Sanatana Kaha dasa ragunata potita pava
Kaha dasa ragunata potita pava
Kaha dasa ragunata patita pavana
Kaha dasa ragunata
Yathayuga Kaha Kavira Mora Bhatha Juga Kaha Kavira Eka kore kotha gela Gauranathara Eka kore kotha gela Gauranathara
Eka kore kotha gela Gauranathara
Shanne kutipo mata Anale pasipo Gauranga gunera nidhi kotha gele pabo Sisata sangira sange Jekola vila Sesangana paya kande narota moda
Sesangana paya kande
Sesangana paya kande narota moda Nilo prema dhana karuna prachu Anila prema dana karuna prachu
Anila prema dana
ন প্রভু কোথাকেলা আচ্ছায়া থাকো হেন প্রভু কোথাকেলা আচ্ছায়া থাকো হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে
He who brought the treasure of divine love, who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottam Das simply weeps.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Yamuna Devi ki jai.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyate Satharine Banjakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya evacha patithanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
It is truly our immense good fortune to be together in the holy dham of Sri Vrindavan, to honor one of our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's very dearmost intimate associates on the day of her disappearance anniversary. Yamuna Devi. Srila Prabhupada often explained that the nature of a true Vaishnav devotee is they have the quality of Saragrahi, one who in all circumstances seeks the essence. What is that essence? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that the essence of all knowledge, of all Vedas, of all duties, is Prema Bhakti. Sabai Pungsang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Dhokshache Ahoitaki Apratihata Yagatma Suprasidati. That the supreme dharma in all situations is loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such service must be unmotivated by any materialistic selfish desires and uninterrupted by any situation that may come before us. Srila Prabhupada defined this as unalloyed devotion. That is the essence. In practical understanding, to seek the essence is to deeply receive Srila Prabhupada's mercy and to give that mercy to others. To seek the essence means to go very, very deep. To be totally absorbed. Absorbed in our hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Going deeper and deeper in total absorption as we chant the holy names. In whatever service we do. And in all of our relationships. This quality of Saragrahi is the perfect description of Yamuna Devi. She offered unconditionally, in total absorption, her body, her mind, her heart, and her very soul in everything she did. Srila Prabhupada again and again would plead with us to take this Krishna consciousness very seriously. How Yamuna Devi took that instruction as her heart and soul in everything she did. Some examples. In 1966, she went to 22nd Avenue on the invitation of her sister Janaki to be there for her marriage. And Srila Prabhupada gave her the instruction, first time meeting, to help him cook. He taught her cooking. How seriously did she take that first little seed of an instruction? Not only did she become the most accomplished cook in our whole society, she wrote a cookbook called Lord Krishna's Cuisine, and with that name, her cookbook became the number one international cookbook of the year. Her cooking became the standard of our whole society. She cooked with such meticulous precision to every single detail. I'm remembering once when I went to her home in Sharanagati for prasad, her and Dinatarani Devi prepared, I think there was 6 different flavor chapatis. Each one so unique, so absolutely delicious, I didn't even know there was such thing as flavored chapatis. They were all natural, organic, and absolutely intoxicating. Her chanting of the holy names. Srila Prabhupada personally taught her to chant. In San Francisco, she would quietly just listen to Srila Prabhupada all alone chanting. Write down the words to the songs. Memorize the melodies. A few years ago, at our Pune Yatra, she taught everybody, I think about 10 different morning melodies that Prabhupada chanted. I only thought there was one morning melody. But this is how intensely she would hear. She sang so many different versions of the morning melody exactly the way Srila Prabhupada chanted. What an absorption. And how she expressed what she received from Srila Prabhupada when she was in London. There's a famous story. They were recording that Radha Krishna album, and George Harrison happened to hear her singing all by herself. She didn't even think anyone else was around. Bhaja Hure Mana, or Bhaja Mana Hure. It was after the recording. But George had a microphone next to her. And he said, that's going to be on the album. Her chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is perhaps the largest selling recording of the Maha Mantra in the history of the world. More people listen to it. Number one song in most all of Europe. And I remember in Cross Maidan in 1971 when I first met the devotees. I came into this huge tent, and at that time Yamuna Devi was on the stage all alone. just chanting. There was only a few people in the crowd. She chanted, playing harmonium. There was no mridanga, no karachals, all alone. I had come down from Himalayas and I was attracted to absorption and meditation and all these other yogas. But when I saw her sitting there with her eyes closed, chanting these beautiful bhajans in the Maha Mantra, I remember I was so deeply affected. This is love. This is real love. This is samadhi. And it was her that actually inspired me to stay all day in that tent until many hours later Srila Prabhupada appeared. George Harrison told Yamuna Devi that with your voice, I can make you the biggest female vocalist in our generation. And he meant it. And he was eager to make her a star all over the Western world. But Yamuna Devi had no interest in any of that. Srila Prabhupada was in India, and she was eager to go to India just to render humble menial service to him. Puja, or worship of the Lord, how seriously she was. I learned from Dina Tarani Devi that she was at a house in Madras, and she was very attracted by the beauty of this deity of Srimati Radharani. Later she came to Vrindavan under Srila Prabhupada's instruction, and it was time to establish the Krishna Balaram temple. She went to Jaipur and gave that particular photograph and gave her own inspiration and instructions to the Murtiwala of how to make Srimati Radharani's facial expression. And today, as far as I can see, the most famous popular deity of Srimati Radharani in all of Brajbhumi, in all of the world, is at Krishna Balaram Mandir. It was her inspiration. When she performed her puja with Dina Tarani Devi of Shishi Radha Ban Bihari, deities that were personally given by Srila Prabhupada to her, the devotion, the love, in every detail in which they served their lordship. Unprecedented. Wherever she lived with her deities, people would go from various parts of the world to have darshan of her deities. And when they did, the standards, the decoration, the offerings, they were equal to or better than practically any ISKCON temple or any temple in the world. Many people, including myself, would go all the way to Sharanagati, which is really away from everything. Somewhere in British Columbia, Canada, just to have the darshan of Radha Ban Bihari and their most loving servants, Yamuna Devi and Dina Tarani Devi. I've never experienced or seen such home worship as this. How seriously she took Prabhupada's instruction in everything. When her previous husband, Guru Das Prabhu, was given sannyas, Srila Prabhupada personally instructed Yamuna Devi to live a life of total renunciation and basically gave her the same instructions as a sannyasi would have, but without the formality. How rare. She was a young woman at the time. She committed her life to follow those principles of total renunciation as long as she lived. Yamuna Devi was at Srila Prabhupada's side in practically all of the beginning stages of ISKCON's most important events. She was there at 22nd Avenue with Srila Prabhupada when he planted the seed. She was there in San Francisco through the Avalon Ballroom Mantra Rock Dance and other such preaching efforts. Literally, the Hare Krishna movement became known and famous throughout America. Then she was at Srila Prabhupada's side in London, where through the making of their records, their performances, their cultivating the Beatles and other such persons, she helped Srila Prabhupada make Krishna consciousness famous throughout the world. And then she was called to India. And she traveled at Prabhupada's side throughout this country, and was eventually assigned to come to Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada's eternal home. Srila Prabhupada was given the task, or gave her and Guru Das Prabhu the task of establishing a temple here. Something that was not only a sacred vision of Srila Prabhupada. Imagine, he lived in Radha Damodar Temple for about 6 years. And it was his dream to bring people from all over the world here. He entrusted that service to Yamuna Devi and Guru Das Prabhu. And in those days, it was so difficult. So many obstacles. I remember one of the most transforming experiences in my own personal life. In 1972, I already had to leave Vrindavan because of my visa, but from Nepal, I came just for a week. And when I came back to Vrindavan, Yamuna Devi and Guru Das Prabhu were staying then at Radha Damodar Temple. And I would sit with them for hours and hours and hours and help them with some seva. When they would talk to each other, the only thing they ever said, hour after hour, day after day, is, "What will please Srila Prabhupada? This will please Srila Prabhupada. This is what Srila Prabhupada wants." I had never, ever experienced anything like this. Such total devotion, total absorption in pleasing the Guru. It was from Yamuna Devi that I first got a glimpse of understanding. What is Guru Nishtha? What is faith in Guru? What is Guru Seva? What is that total absorption where every word, every act, every thought is an offering of love to one's spiritual master? And I remember thinking at that time, because I had met Srila Prabhupada and accepted him as my spiritual master, this is the standard I must strive for. This is pure devotional service. Yamuna Devi, she could be as grave and stoic as an ancient sage. And she could be as playful, as sweet and humorous as a gopi. Was her nature, and how she affected people's hearts. Because she received with such gratitude and such surrender Srila Prabhupada's mercy, she was inconceivably empowered to give that mercy. I'd like to conclude with a reflection. One time Srila Prabhupada was sitting and he said that Krishna had taken away my family and now he has given me all of you as my children. And how Srila Prabhupada sacrificed his life for his children, more than any biological parent could ever conceive of. And I was thinking how Yamuna Devi inherited that spirit. She had no biological children herself. But the second generation of our movement, she gave her heart and soul, her everything, to care for and inspire our children. They became her children. As far as I could see, I don't think there's anyone in the history of our society since Srila Prabhupada that has had the effect of inspiring, empowering our second generation of the children born of Prabhupada's disciples equal to Yamuna Devi. She loved these children. She cared for these children. And she gave them what Prabhupada gave her. Unalloyed, pure, devotional service. And much of the future of our movement is going to be the influence that she has had on these young people. In this sense, Yamuna Devi, she was like that with everyone and anyone that were willing to open their hearts to her. When she was at Bhaktivedanta Hospital, just earlier the year, last year actually, she was there for several months. Her health was in such a critical condition. But yet she was giving of herself in such a way that everyone there was completely inspired, enlivened. The entire Bhaktivedanta Hospital was totally grateful to be in that place simply because they could serve her. And the type of devotional service, the standard of love that she exemplified, will never be forgotten. I'll give an example. Hopefully Radha Devi will tell the story later. It was Radha Banbihari's appearance day. And they were in Shatranagati, and Yamuna Devi was in Mumbai. And she had dozens of people cooking offerings for them. She would have them write down, she would write down the recipes, and they would be, and she, I don't remember if it was 1,000 preparations or hundreds of preparations, whatever it was, they all made these preparations in their minds. And then she wrote everything in the computer, all the different, the whole feast that she had prepared in her mind, and she sent it by internet. And she said, now the offering has been made. That was her absorption. No, that those devotees will never ever be the same. She totally conquered our hearts. While at Bhaktivedanta Hospital, I saw how simple housekeepers, cooks, doctors, administrators, and even one of the most famous people in the entire Western world came to see her. I was shocked. This person was in total awe, with his hands folded, and his wife, just in the aura of Yamuna's devotion. He had never experienced anything like that in his life. Yamuna Devi, she was, to me and to so many others, she was our mother, our sister, our friend, our worshipful goddess, because she embodied Prabhupada's love, Prabhupada's mercy, with such depth, with such absorption. She really taught us how to seek the essence. Her passing from this world was so perfect. Yamuna Devi never wanted fame. She never wanted prestige. She only wanted seva, selfless service. At Bhaktivedanta Hospital, she would call me regularly and say, I'm leaving this place. She was still in critical condition. I said, why are you leaving this place? She said, because too many people are serving me. I don't like to be served. I like to do things myself. I said, but if you leave, you'll die. She said, better to die than to accept so much service. This was her nature. I said, don't you understand? Please understand that they see Srila Prabhupada in you more than they've ever seen him before in anyone. By your accepting their service, you're connecting them with Srila Prabhupada. You're doing the greatest service to them. She said, really? I said, definitely, you could ask anyone. She said, all right, then to serve them I will stay. It was just the way she would want to go. After being with some of her favorite loving people, the youth of our society, and having kirtan, she went to take rest, and she got up, and with her japa mala in her hand, sitting down, totally absorbed in the sweet sound of the holy names, with no one but Prabhupada and Krishna and Radha with her, she left. And she would probably, Dinatarini Devi was saying yesterday, she would be very angry if she saw all of us together like this. But because she's Saragrahi personified, I think behind that anger she would seek the essence of the genuine gratitude and love that we have for her, and the unlimited debt that we owe her. Srila Prabhupada said about her something I never heard him say about anyone. He said, Yamuna has attained bhava, love for Krishna. And she lived, and she will live forever in our hearts to inspire us with that love. Yamuna Devi Ki Jai. And we owe a great debt to Janaki Devi for bringing Yamuna Devi to Srila Prabhupada. We owe a great debt to Dina Tarani Devi, because as Yamuna Devi's most intimate, loving associate for so many years, she is now going to present to the world for all time to come Yamuna Devi's autobiography, unalloyed, and we are so eagerly awaiting. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much, Srila Radhanath. Thank you so much, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, for your beautiful talk and your deep realizations. Very much appreciated. As I mentioned earlier, Yamuna Prabhu was instructed to learn about deity worship by going to the temple here in Vrindavan, the Radharaman temple. And she did that very carefully, very extensively, took meticulous notes. So today we understand that His Holiness Padmanabha Goswami wanted to come to glorify her. He is coming from the Radharaman temple. Is Padmanabha Goswami present? So we'll hear from him when he comes. So now we would like to hear from Her Grace Dina Tarani Prabhu. Dina Tarani, as we've mentioned, has been a dear, dear friend of Yamuna Prabhu since the early 70s. They've gone through so many experiences together, growing together in Krishna consciousness, helping each other, deriving great inspiration and empowerment from each other. And now Dina Tarani, as Maharaj mentioned, is devoting herself to writing this book in remembrance of Yamuna's activities and qualities.
Chakshurunminitam yena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Shtapitam yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadi Svapadantikam.
I'd first of all like to express my most heartfelt gratitude for all of you, those who are present here and those who are unable to be present but are here in spirit, to honor and memorialize Yamuna Devi's legacy. And this is the first time that I've spoken publicly since her passing for many reasons. It's still difficult. I'm a little bit shy to speak in public at any rate, but there were several reasons, but primary was that I couldn't figure out how to encapsulate or condense the 37 years of being her companion into a cohesive, short explication of who Jamuna Devi was. And fortunately, I've been spared from having to do that because His Holiness Radhanath Swami has just done that so beautifully that I don't have to revisit those same areas. This project, Unalloyed, was originally intended as an acronym for the book project that we've been working on. This book project came about because Jamuna Devi, in her natural humility, had been reluctant to write her memoir for many, many years, despite being asked by innumerable devotees. She felt that she really wasn't... she felt in her humility that why do we need another book from me? That was what she would say so often to so many people. And everyone would say, but your vision is unique, not only because you're a woman, but because of your intimate relationship with Srila Prabhupada and because of so many other reasons. Her contribution to the society, to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. But it went from being an acronym to a beautiful definition of who Jamuna Devi was in relation to this Krishna consciousness movement and in relation to Srila Prabhupada specifically, that her devotion, that her dedication, that her commitment, that her her very being, her very essence was unalloyed devotion to Srila Prabhupada and to Krishna Bhakti. So I would like to begin at the end how this came about by speaking a little bit about her passing. Some of it is intimate, but I think it will give you a very amazing understanding of who Jamuna was in totality, because her legacy is not just the years that she spent as an intimate associate of Srila Prabhupada, but her legacy is the totality of her life, because it remained the same from the moment she made the commitment to Srila Prabhupada to give her life to Krishna consciousness to the very end of her life and her passing. She was the same person, and she had the same dedication. And that was what was so remarkable about Jamuna Devi to so many people. She was guileless in that she was the same on the inside as she was on the outside. And she was able to touch people, as Maharaj was saying, in a way that was so real and so tangible and so lasting that even someone who met her once, or even someone who never met her but read her cookbook, could be irrevocably changed in terms of the direction of their spiritual life, the trajectory of their spiritual life. This happened again and again, and I saw it myself so many times. So in the last years of her life, Jamuna Devi was becoming weaker and weaker physically while remaining stronger and stronger spiritually. And her mood was always, when it's time for me to leave, Krishna will take me. And that's fine with me. She was affected either staying or going. Really, it wasn't something she devoted much time to thinking about. But then her health became so critical that she spent those months at Bhaktivedanta Hospital, which was a very profound experience. I was there for 6 weeks of those 3 months that she was there. And I also felt her profound effect on everyone there. So after she left the hospital, at that time, the wonderful doctors, nurses, staff, everyone at Bhaktivedanta Hospital, which Jamuna had a deep and profound relationship with and affection for, had just gone to the most amazing depths of love in trying to help her in whatever way that they could. When she came back to the United States was when she, in Florida, when she had more extensive tests done on her heart, they found that unbeknownst to her, or she had not mentioned it to me or anyone else, that up to 10 years beforehand, she had had a serious heart attack. And it was either, it was unknown to, so the muscle was already damaged. So since we moved to Florida, she started having more extensive tests, and she had what we called episodes, and what they later determined was small heart attacks or strokes. So once I had to go to see my mother on the other side of Florida and take her to a doctor's visit. And while I was gone, Jamuna Devi had one of these episodes. So when I came back, she said that she thought she was going to pass at that time. And she went into the temple room, and there was a sort of a day bed in the temple room in front of Radha Banabihari. And she lay down in the day bed, and she was unconscious. And when she woke up from being unconscious, she had in her arms Srila Prabhupada, the murti of Srila Prabhupada. Now, this murti is clay. He is the murti that was the original one made in Los Angeles. One devotee gave to us, and he is modeled in clay. And when Jamuna woke up, she was embracing this deity of Srila Prabhupada. So the next episode happened, and I was there. And one morning she came to me, and she said, having either a reaction to this medicine or having another one of these episodes, what she called episodes. So we went again into the temple room, and she laid down in this this daybed again. And then in a semi-conscious state, I was just sitting there holding her hand, and all of a sudden, with this very clear, lucid, beautiful voice, she started chanting, Goranga bolite habe pulaka sharira hari hari bolite nayane bhabe nir. And she sang the entire prayer. Now this was not a prayer that we had been singing with any regularity. In fact, since 2005, we had been concentrating on the songbooks of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and this is a prayer of Narottam Das Thakur. And in this prayer, he is humbly and very deeply asking for bhava. He is actually saying, when will a shivering of my body come? And he's saying, when will I achieve the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda? And then he's saying, when will I be able to understand the books of the six Goswamis? And so I was stunned because, as I said, she had not sung this song in a long time. None of us had. And then when I was writing on the book, she mentioned that in 1968, in the Rath Yatra festival, as they were riding on the Rath cart, this prayer was playing by Srila Prabhupada in the background the whole way to the ocean. And she made the comment that the winds of the ocean would, each wind would carry one way and carry another way, and the wind would carry that prayer one way, and then it would carry that prayer another way. So I thought that this was another indication that Jamuna Devi was so absorbed that, again, thinking she was passing at this time, somehow this prayer came to her and she sang it at this moment. And so the third time this happened was the time that she actually passed. And we had been having, as Maharaj said, a kirtan with our wonderful young friends, Kartamasha and Radhakund. And after the kirtan, Jamuna said, I'm feeling again, another episode is coming on, maybe passing again. She did not like the hospital. She did not want to go to doctors. She was so much at peace and so committed. And at that time, I asked, do you want to go to the hospital? And she said so many times, as she'd said before, I want only one thing. And she said, I want to go where Srila Prabhupada is. She said, that is it. She said, if he is in the spiritual world, then I want to go to the spiritual world. But if he is preaching somewhere in this material world, I want to go there, wherever he is. And it is my great prayer that if I have the adhikara, if I've done enough in this life to go where Srila Prabhupada is, that is my humble prayer. And she said that many, many times. She said it again this night. And I last checked on her about 1 o'clock in the morning. And then at that time she was sitting up and she asked me to take rest. And she knew she was passing because she positioned herself on her bed horizontally so she would be found that way. And she had her beads in her hand. And when I found her the next morning, she actually had a smile on her face. She had passed in that way. It was like, how can I describe, a Mona Lisa smile. It was very, very beautiful. It was amazing because how Krishna arranged it, there are so few episodes in our life where we can actually see the hand of Krishna acting in such a profound way. One way was that had she not gone to the heart doctor in the area that we lived in, when she passed away, she would have had to have an autopsy. And she would have had to have waited 2 weeks to have that, where they cut you open. And because she had been seen by the heart doctor, they said, yes, she does not have to have this done. And because the medical examiner wanted to leave, the 2 weeks that they expected it would take for him to fill out the papers took 1 day. And so within 2 days, we were able to have a wonderful ceremony. And then the third thing was that the place that the funeral home that we went to, no one was there. No one else was there. And the people were so kind that they allowed us to have our ceremonies in our tradition with loud kirtan and decoration of her body and all of the sacraments that are performed. And none of these things would have happened if they had not been arranged by the merciful, the all-merciful hand of Krishna. So the reason that I wanted to start at the end in that way was to show that from the very beginning of her devotional life, from the commitment she had, when she made that commitment to Krishna consciousness, she stayed that way her entire life. And her concern was that we pass that on to the next generations. And she used to say that we have to show among ourselves that we are actually developing the qualities of a devotee. Because if the next generations do not see within us that what has been promised by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, by Lord Chaitanya and Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, by our other great Vaishnavas like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada, that these qualities must develop within us by dint of sincere practice of devotional service. And if new generations coming up see that we are not developing these qualities, where will the faith come to practice and make that commitment? So Srila Prabhupada, Jamuna found this 2 weeks before she passed away. I hope I have the paper here. So in 1966, we did not have the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but Srila Prabhupada was preaching in New York from the Madhya Lila, the instructions to Sanatana Goswami. And Jamuna found this to be very profound. Literally, 2 weeks before she passed away, she found this. It was something we had spoken about so many times. And Srila Prabhupada spoke about this in 1966. And what he said is, how can you become a saintly person? He said, so there are these 26 qualities, and they are called saintly person. A devotee means to become fully qualified with all the noble qualities. A devotee does not mean a rascal. At the same time, you are a rascal and a devotee. No. As soon as you become a devotee, the test is that those 26 qualities will develop. You have to test yourself. Out of the 26 qualities, how much have I developed? If I am lacking, then you must know that you are not developing, and this is the test. So, I had noticed that among these qualities, when I began this book project, and briefly I will just explain that I never thought that I would ever be writing Jamuna's autobiography, but about a month before she passed away, she said that she did not think she would be able to finish writing, and would I in fact take up this project. And I didn't think that I would have to do it, so I said yes. And when she did pass away, she had been writing, and every time I would ask her, can I please read what you've read so far? She would say something like, well, it's just a exercise, or it's not ready to be seen by anyone yet. So she would not let me read anything that she had written. So it wasn't until after she passed away and I read what she wrote that I understood why she didn't want me to read what she had written. Because in her typical way, she had virtually written herself out of all of the important events of her life that she was a central character in. An example is the Govindam prayers. You may be interested to know that she was not present then, that she was simply a chorus, one of the persons singing in the chorus of the Govindam prayers. So this is just one example, and there were many more, and she knew that had I read what she had written, I would have very vocally complained. So in one way, it's good that those of us now who are working on this project are working on it because we actually can present the history as carefully as we are trying to do as it happened, and not as Yamuna in her humility would have liked to have presented it. But it simply showed that when I began researching, and I went way back to her earliest years, those things that to most of us would have seemed extremely important in our life, she never mentioned. The things like being a cheerleader in high school. She was chosen by the San Francisco Ballet to participate in their summer school program twice in a row, with the hope that she would eventually join the San Francisco Ballet. This was a great and rare honor, again, barely mentioned by her. She was her homecoming queen. All of these things that are considered important to most people, she did not mention. And as Maharaj said, that she could be as grave as the most grave, and she could be as funny as the most funny. In fact, when the students voted in their senior year, what they felt each student should be honored for, Jamuna was chosen most witty of her high school. So she had that very, very much a part of her nature. But one of the things that I found was that these 26 qualities of a devotee, many of those qualities she already exhibited even before she became a devotee. Some of them merciful, humble, equal to all, magnanimous, peaceful, surrendered, friendly, indifferent to material acquisitions, fixed in devotional service, respectful, grave, without false prestige. This is another extremely important. Maharaj mentioned about George Harrison. In fact, she was formally approached by Apple Records to become a solo artist in addition to George Harrison. During that year, I have about three or four of her letters that she wrote to Srila Prabhupada, and all of the letters that he wrote to her, she never once mentions George Harrison in any of those letters. She never once mentions any of the singing, any of that type of thing. Her full concentration was on serving the devotees, the deity worship, how she should organize the temple worship and the deity worship, how she could best serve Srila Prabhupada. All of these were very, very much covered. You can tell by Srila Prabhupada's answers that those were her questions at that time. So these qualities were there, and then more qualities developed as she went on in life. And therefore, she felt that it was so important that we try to go deeply into our devotional service and develop these qualities so the younger generations would see that the promises that have been given by our acharyas are in fact real, and that this Krishna consciousness is full of joy and is full of the highest ideals and perfections that we would want to seek anywhere. And this is something very dear to Jamuna's heart, and we're hoping in this book project that through her words and through the words of those who knew her, that this will come out more and more, her deep love for Srila Prabhupada's mission, for showing that this is the highest thing, this is the greatest thing, and that you are never the loser when you take to Krishna consciousness, but actually you've gained the greatest wealth. And she exemplified that. She showed that by her example, by her words, by her deeds, and by her very life. So I thank you very much for coming and honoring her again. And I feel very grateful to be here and very grateful for all of your association. And again, thank you for stepping forward and offering tribute to this great Vaishnava in such a wonderful and meaningful and moving way. With all my heart, I thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dinatarani Prabhu, for your insights and eloquent expression. As both His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and as Dinatarani Prabhu have mentioned, one of the things most dear to Jamuna's heart was to empower and inspire the next generation in Krishna consciousness. So our next speaker will be a member of that second generation, Kartamasha Prabhu, who is very close to Jamuna. Jamuna appreciated not only his singing, he sings all the songs of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in beautiful melodies, but also his devotional mood and his dedication. Himself, he's a teacher in our Sharanagati school, so he's dedicated himself to the next generation. And he has been personally very much inspired and encouraged by Jamuna. So we'll ask Kartamasha Prabhu to please come and speak now.
Hare Krishna. I'm here actually just to speak on behalf of the children of Jamuna Devi, as Radhanath Maharaj said, that we've been given so much by Jamuna and Dinatarani Prabhus. It's not possible for all of us to express it in a time frame like today and tomorrow. So we thought it best that we collectively show our gratitude and give our tribute through trying to assist with the book project, Jamuna's book that Dinatarani Prabhu is finishing now. So we've been trying to assist her with that, and so Dinatarani Prabhu wanted me to just let everyone know where we are at with the book and what it is consisting of, and how you can talk to us, myself, my wife, any of the other youth involved in the book project, if you have any more questions after. So Jamuna actually had the idea for the book when she first met Srila Prabhupada in New York, because she wanted him to come to San Francisco, and her plan was when he came to San Francisco that she would have photographs taken by Gurudas Prabhu, and then she would calligraph a book about Srila Prabhupada's visit to San Francisco. So from that time on, she began to keep a journal of all of Srila Prabhupada's activities, her service to Srila Prabhupada, etc. And that continued throughout her whole time with Srila Prabhupada. So the bulk of the book is we're attempting to have in Jamuna's own words. So much of that comes from these journals. Many have been lost over the years, but some remain. So those journals include her own realizations, her reflections, her prayers, conversations with Srila Prabhupada, lecture transcriptions of Srila Prabhupada that haven't been recorded otherwise. And then she also kept a document of her study of deity worship here in Vrindavan, and of course her lifelong study of cooking, and then also kirtan and bhajan. All of these notebooks are contributing towards her voice in the book. In addition to that, she made dozens of hours of audio recordings of her own memories, her own memoirs. And she also interviewed other devotees to corroborate all of her own remembrances. So those have been transcribed also to be used in the book. And then, of course, her own countless hours of writing herself the book. Not only that, but she spent a lot of time selecting each photo, modifying photos so that they're most presentable. Many, many hours of work she left for us to put into the finalized book form. So again, the bulk will be Jamuna's own words taken from those sources. And then Dinatarni Prabhu will be weaving together a narrative based on those of Jamuna's whole journey in Krishna consciousness. Also, Srila Prabhupada is a major central character in the book through his communication with Jamuna Prabhu, letters, conversations, and also there will be many voices of those who knew and loved Jamuna. We're including any memoirs like today can be used to supplement the book also. So the idea is that this will create like a symphony of voices that will be layered over the rhythm of Jamuna Devi's life. And they'll all be supplementing or layering that same melody that Dinatarini Prabhu just mentioned, that this living and loving and giving of the process of Krishna consciousness is actually the highest, most supreme and most joyful activity. So that's really the essence of the book. The goal of the book is to shine the light on that principle. The book will have many visuals, scans of Jamuna's art and writing, her Didi diagrams of all the outfits and jewelry and everything she studied here in Vrindavan particularly. Photos that have never been seen before. And anything that can be included in the book that is total nectar, we'll have a website that will be in tandem with the book, like a supplement to the book that will include more audio, video, photos, things like that. And the current status of this book is that Dinatarni Prabhu is just finishing now the writing, and then we're having the layout and design done and hoping to be completed by this summer. And the brochure that was arranged so kindly that everyone could have a brochure, this is a preview of the book. It's little snippets of the content of the book, as you can see, but of course it's much edited down for space here, so there's like this but so much more. And you can see examples of her writing. These are from her prayer book, and her calligraphy that Srila Prabhupada engaged her in service, so many things like that. Also in this brochure is information, how to contact us, how to get more information, website address that has so much more than this brochure can hold. There's more excerpts from the book, audio, video, photographs, things like that for you to hopefully be inspired to look forward to the book coming. So once again, thank you for tolerating myself on behalf of all the younger devotees. We're here to serve Jamuna Devi's legacy for the rest of our lives, and hope that this book is one step in that direction. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gautamarsha Prabhu. We want to offer our gratitude to Gautamarsha and to his good wife Radhakund for so selflessly helping Dinatarani Prabhu for many, many months now in compiling this book for the glorification of Jamuna Prabhu. So Jamuna Prabhu came to India with Srila Prabhupada, or about the same time as Srila Prabhupada did, in 1970 in the fall. And a few months after she arrived, a young man arrived named John, who was a photographer. And perhaps of all of us who are physically present here today, John has known, his name is now Yadubara Prabhu, he has known Jamuna longer than any one of us. So we'd like to ask him to please come forward and speak some words in glorification of Jamuna Prabhu.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane, Namaste Sarasvati Deve, Gauravani Pacharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavati, Praskatare Satarane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Siyadvaita Gadadhar, Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Panchakalpa Taribhyascha, Kripasandavi Evacha, Patitanang Parvinibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo, Namo Namaha. So thank you all for undergoing the austerity of these last few days in anticipation for this wonderful event. The Lord has kindly given us a beautiful day. We were wondering what their weather would be like, but it's quite wonderful. And it's appropriate. Jamuna Devi, so much has been said in the last hour, I'm not sure where to start. To me, it's complete already. But I'll try to add a few more things in glorification. I first came to Surat in December 1970, and I was with Srila Prabhupada in his party for some months. And there were several individuals who impressed me on that party. And one was Jamuna Devi. Another was Guru Das, her husband. And also Dinanath Prabhu. I was quite an outsider. I had mustache, long hair, karmi clothes. And remained like that for quite some months. I was very stubborn in coming to Krishna consciousness. It took me a long time. And that didn't seem to faze these three devotees. They actually befriended me and encouraged me in everything I did. I remember one time I cooked some rice and tomato with some salt in an aluminum pot and offered it to the devotees. And Jamuna Devi just praised that preparation. I was just awestruck. And then she would look at me and she would say, Prabhupada has given you so much time. You are so fortunate. And when she would do that, you really could appreciate her depth of understanding of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And I could understand my lack of it, actually. But I could really appreciate Prabhupada through her. And I remember Bob Cohen, Prabhu, who asked Srila Prabhupada questions during the first Mayapur Festival in 1972. And that book, that later became a book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. And he was also struck by Yamuna Devi. She would also tell him that you were so fortunate to have Srila Prabhupada's association. And it had a profound effect on him as it did with me. And again, many remembrances came from listening to the three devotees who have spoken already. And I remember many, many, many times hearing through the door where Yamuna and Gurudas were staying, their room, and they would be discussing how to please Prabhupada. That would be their sole objective, and you know, much plan making would be going on in that room, how to please His Divine Grace. And also she was very, very serious and very, very lighthearted. She could be very, very funny. So many instances are we've seen over the years, especially in Sharanagati. And at the same time, she had a very deep understanding of the miseries of material life. And she would joke about these miserable material bodies, how they're giving us so much difficulty. And we spent time in our travels, in our DVD series, Yamuna Devi had some very wonderful comments to make, especially on arriving for the first time in the Holy Dham in Mathura. They were on their way to Amritsar, and wherever they would stop on the train, they would jump off the train, all the devotees, and have Harinam Sankirtan. And this would attract many, many persons, of course. But Yamuna Devi remembered that time, especially because it was the first time in the Holy Dham. She said they were in a trance of ecstasy, experienced for the first time the Holy Dham of Vrindavan. Then in her upcoming book, Dinatarani, Devi mentioned that there was one time that Yamuna tricked me, that she took me that 1 month that we spent in Vrindavan before there was a temple, and certain devotees would be visiting the Holy Dham, including Yamuna Devi and Gurudas Prabhu. So she took me to a Murtiwala, and she showed me the deities that she wanted to purchase and worship. So afterwards she said, she looked at me, you know, deeply in the eyes, and she said, "Can you make a donation to purchase these deities?" So I could not refuse. We really couldn't refuse a request from Yamuna Devi. She was so, she was so enchanting and captivating. And also she never wanted to be in the forefront. That was very much evident. In our last years in Sharanagati, she spent, I believe, 13 or 14 years as our next door neighbor. It would be very, very difficult. We would have Saturday or Friday night kirtans at our house, and she would often come, and it would be very difficult to get her to lead kirtan. We would ask her, and she would say, no, let someone else lead. So that was her nature, to be very unassuming and not at the forefront. And she had no attraction for material name or fame. And so many stories have been already expressed in that regard. And she appreciated Krishna's energies. She really loved natural surroundings. The story goes when she actually first visited Sharanagati, she drove into the valley and she had the realization that Krishna's holy name resides here. So that was a big impetus for her deciding to move to Sharanagati. And I remember many Bhagavatam classes we'd have at her house. And she was always extremely interested in others' realizations and thoughts. And she would be thrilled to hear of the realizations, especially from the young devotees. And she would just praise that realization. And it was so wonderful to see that, especially with the youth. And of course she gave a huge amount of her time and energy to the youth in her last years, and shared with them what she had learned from Srila Prabhupada in a very deep way. So thank you very much for allowing me to speak. Yamuna Devi Ki Jai.
Thank you so much. Now, one person who very much wanted to be here but could not be here due to poor health was His Holiness Giriraj Swami. He and Jamuna had a very long-standing and loving relationship, many exchanges in Prabhupada's service. But Maharaj did write an offering, and now His Holiness Radhanath Swami will read that for us.
The Path of True Friendship, a letter to Yamuna Devi from His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. My dear Yamuna Devi, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and His devoted surrendered servants. Vishaka Priya, who manages Kirtan Ashram in Vrindavan, told me of an incident when on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day, you invited her and Yashoda Mayi to accompany you and Dina Tarani to Radha Kund. You wanted to visit the Kunja Bihari Math, which was established by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and which also includes the Pushpa Samadhi of Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. You spent some wonderful time together there singing and reading the last three verses of the Nectar of Instruction, which glorifies Sri Radha Kund, and then you decided that you should all go to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. Somehow you paired off Dina Tarani and Vishaka Priya, and you and Yashoda. You were not walking at the same pace, and Dina Tarani and Vishaka Priya arrived first. They waited and waited and waited, but still you did not come. So they went back and looked for you all over Radha Kund. Finally, they found you sitting on the steps of a temple. In the car, you explained what had happened, and then you turned to Dina Tarani and affectionately squeezing her hand said, "I knew she would find us wherever we were." The way you said it, with so much love and faith and gratitude, really touched Vishaka Priya's heart and mine too. Such pure, beautiful friendship is rare. In fact, it hardly exists in the material world, but it does exist in Vrindavan, and it gives me hope. Wherever my uncontrolled mind and senses may take me in this life or the next, I pray that you will come and find me, like Dina Tarani found you. Take me firmly by the hand and bring me back to Srila Prabhupada, back to Vrindavan, where we all are meant to be. Lord Krishna praises such friendship. My dear slender-waisted gopis, some people are genuinely merciful, or like parents, naturally affectionate. Such persons who devotedly serve, even those who fail to reciprocate with them, are following the true faultless path of religion, and they are true well-wishers. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:32-18. The word suhrit means friend, well-wisher, benefactor. Such faultless friends are worthy of being with Srila Prabhupada and his lords in Vrindavan. And you are so naturally kind and compassionate that you want all of us, Srila Prabhupada's children, and all souls to join you there. You have shown us the way too. You took Srila Prabhupada's simple, clear instructions to heart. You followed them strictly to your full capacity during your life. And in the end, you realize the result, the fruit, which is available to anyone who so follows. Still, we need your help. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, Eka kiyamara nahi payabala harinama sankirtane. Tumi kripa kori shraddha bindudiya deho krishna nama dhane. Alone I do not find the strength to chant the holy name of Hari. Please be merciful and blessing me with a drop of faith. Bestow upon me the great treasure of the holy name of Krishna. During that same visit to Vrindavan, you said to Vishakapriya with wonder, I don't know why, but I have such a taste for chanting. And as Vishakapriya described it, you just couldn't stop chanting. You will never stop. And as long as we chant and serve the holy names under Srila Prabhupada's guidance, we will be with you. As Srila Prabhupada told his tearful disciples when he was leaving America to return to Vrindavan, the sound vibration fixes us up together. You will be chanting here, and I will be chanting there, and the vibration will circulate around the planet. You followed Srila Prabhupada, and we aspire to follow you and him. O Saragrahi Vaishnav soul, thou art an angel fair. Lead me on to Vrindavan, and spirit's power declare. Krishna se tomara, Krishna dite paro, tomara shakati ache. Amito Kangala Krishna Krishna Boli Dvaitava Pache Pache Pache. Krishna is yours, and you can give him to me, for such is your power. This wretch is simply running behind you crying out, Krishna, Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said that we will have another ISKCON in the spiritual sky. In your presence, like in Srila Prabhupada's, we could experience the spiritual world in ISKCON, as we are experiencing it now by your and his boundless, causeless mercy and love. Your eternal servant's servant, Giriraj Swami.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Thank you, His Holiness Giriraj Swami. So, at noon, we're all scheduled to go to the Goshala for the Samadhi ceremony, so I'm requesting humbly that there are many, many devotees who want to speak in glorification of Jamuna Prabhu, but we have to keep it concise, perhaps 5 minutes for each devotee, so that everyone can speak for her pleasure. Next, I would like to ask Lilamrita Prabhu to speak. Lilamrita is from Sharanagati, and she has helped Dinatarani and Jamuna for many, many years with their seva for the deities there, Shishi Radhabana Bihari. And she's also gone to Melbourne, Florida to help Dinatarani and Kartamrisha and Radhakund working on this book project.
Om Yana Tinamandasya Gnanjanam Chalakaya Chakshuru Minitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave. It's a great honor to be here, and it's a difficult thing to try to say something appropriate for such a glorious devotee as Jamuna Devi, as for me. But I have been truly blessed to have her association at Sharanagati, because Sharanagati is a very remote place, and it's full of all varieties of miseries coming from the elements, one's own body and mind, and other living entities. And I was very shocked and surprised when I heard that Jamuna Devi and Dinatarani Prabhu would even come to Sharanagati. And the fact that they did was a true blessing for all of the residents there. And Radhabani Bihari Ashram, which they so lovingly built for Radhabani Bihari, every single part of it was truly for the pleasure of their lordships. And for me, the life of a devotee like Jamuna Devi is like an advertisement of, because I heard recently that the advertising policy is that the principle is they want to make you dissatisfied with what you have so that you want what they are presenting. So I was thinking, Jamuna Prabhu's life was so glorious, so full of love and dedication and all good qualities of a Vaishnava, that you wanted to have that. And you become dissatisfied with your own miserable state of existence. And when you were in her company, you felt that you could actually attain that. And it was most desirable. I've had the good fortune also of helping with the book project, of transcribing the Jamuna speaking her memories of her times with Prabhupada and interviewing the different devotees. And I would like to share one story that there's so many. We really have a great treasure to look forward to in this wonderful book. But it was actually an interview. She was speaking with Yadavara Prabhu, and they were talking about how Prabhupada would sometimes tease devotees. So Jamuna was describing how Prabhupada always teased her about how women were less intelligent. So this one time, she was on a morning walk with some senior male disciples, and she was the only woman. So Prabhupada started talking about how women were less intelligent. So he asked all the men, "What do you think? Is this true?" They all said, "Oh, yes, yes, this is true." So then he turned to Jamuna, and she said, "What do you think, Jamuna?" She said, "Oh, yes, Prabhupada, definitely." And then he said to her, he said, "But there is no woman in you. You are a devotee. So, but for myself, being in a woman's body, I'm very grateful that Jamuna was in a woman's body, because I had an opportunity to associate with her. And I am forever indebted to the Lord and Srila Prabhupada for that opportunity. Jamuna Devi Ki Jai.
Thank you so much, Leelamrita Prabhu. We would like to ask Harisari Prabhu to say a few words in glorification of Yamuna Prabhu.
So, I wasn't actually expecting to be asked to speak, but so I haven't prepared anything. But I'll just try to offer a couple of short anecdotes just to express some appreciation for Jamuna Devi. I think the first time that I heard about her was February 1972. I had just started coming around to the Sydney Temple, and for about a week, whilst I was making the adjustment from coming out of Kami life into full-time devotee life, I was visiting the temple every day. I would come at about 6 in the morning and then leave about 8 o'clock at night. And during the daytime, we would be engaged in various kinds of service. So I was given a job of redecorating a small storefront that was right next door to the Sydney Temple. So all day long we were just painting and cleaning and doing so many things. And we had a small record player, and the only record that we had was the Radha Krishna Temple album. So all day long we were playing this record, and you know, all the way through, and then when it stopped we'd put it straight back on again. And so in this way, maybe, you know, a dozen times a day we were hearing this sound vibration, and I'd never heard anything like it before. It was completely amazing, just the mood that it struck. And in particular, there was Jamuna's voice, which was so dominant in all of the songs there. And I was very curious about who this singer is, because when you heard Jamuna's voice, she had this kind of slightly nasal intonation, but it was totally transporting you to another realm. It was just so unusual and so spiritually surcharged. So I was very much affected by hearing that. And so after a couple of days, I asked one of the senior ladies in the ashram there, Vaibhavi Devi, and I wanted to know who's actually singing on this record. So in very awed tones, she said, that's Jamuna Devi. She said, Prabhupada said that she's already attained the stage of bhava. So, of course, I was a new bhakta. I had no idea what bhava actually was, but I could understand this is something really special. And she told me a short anecdote that she'd heard, that one time after a Sunday feast, they found Jamuna outside sitting next to the garbage can. Some people had thrown the prasadam in the garbage, and she was picking out the prasadam from the garbage and eating it and crying in ecstasy. So I thought, you know, this is an amazing person. And so later on, because I was 72, later on in 1975, I was fortunate to join Srila Prabhupada's party. And very shortly afterwards, Prabhupada got a letter from Jamuna. This was at the end of 1975. So just a few months after her ex-husband, Gurudas, had taken sannyas, and then she had set out with Dina Tarani on their own adventure in developing another program to spread Krishna consciousness. So she'd written that they got this property in Oregon. And they had some plans. They laid them out that they would start off small, and then they wanted to gradually develop this fairly large program for training ladies in Krishna consciousness. So after Prabhupada read the letter or heard the letter, then he wrote back and he said, actually, he said, there are no grandiose programs in Krishna consciousness. He said, it's better you live very simply, dress so as not to attract the attention of men, and you just chant and do your worship like that. So he gave her a direct instruction to keep herself very simple living and high thinking. And I think just after that, then another letter came. Dina, you can correct me, but I think that the deities of Radha Ban Bihari were installed on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's appearance or disappearance? Disappearance on his disappearance day, and she sent some photographs which Prabhupada very much appreciated. So there was one comment that Prabhupada made there in that letter where he'd just received a letter from Gurudas a few days before getting the one from Jamuna, and both of them were expressing their pleasure at now, you know, proceeding along these particular paths, him as a sannyasi and her there with this idea for this ashram. And Prabhupada wrote back, he said, I have a new slogan. You might remember this, Dina. He said, I have a new slogan. Man is good, woman is good. When they combine together, they become bad. So he said, now you've been freed from these, you know, this marital situation. Now you develop your Krishna consciousness. So it was very nice. Later on, in 1976, we came to Los Angeles. Prabhupada arrived there on June the 1st. He spent 10 days there. And I was very delighted to find that Jamuna was there in Los Angeles. She'd come down from Oregon. She cooked the whole time that Srila Prabhupada was there, herself and Palika Devi. Because as Prabhupada's servant, generally speaking, the servant was the cook. I think I was probably the only servant that Prabhupada had that couldn't cook anything. So I was very happy when Jamuna and Palika were there. They made these fabulous meals for Srila Prabhupada every day. He was so much appreciative. And at the end of the visit, when we were due to fly to Detroit, I had approached Rameshwara Swami, he was the GVC, that, you know, I'm not a cook. Prabhupada needs really first-class prasadam because of the delicacy of his health. So can you arrange for Jamuna to travel with us whilst we're in America and she can do all the cooking? Unfortunately, she wasn't available. She had other things that she, other duties that she had to do. So Palika came with us instead. But I always remembered, you know, the special flavor, the wonderful preparations that Jamuna made there. Then later on, we came here to Vrindavan from September till November in 76. And about halfway through Prabhupada's stay here, one day he was sitting in his room, in the prasadam room, taking his prasadam, and Jamuna suddenly turned up unexpectedly. We didn't know that she was coming, but she'd flown to India, and she was actually on the way to Calcutta, and she was going to stay with one of our prominent life members there, Mr. C.L. Bajoria, because Mr. Bajoria had a first-class cook, Mawari cook, working for him. So Jamuna was going, she'd made an arrangement to go and stay with Mr. Bajoria's family so that she could learn more cooking from Mr. Bajoria's cook. And this was going to be part of a preparation for this long-awaited cookbook that she was working on. So before she went to Calcutta, she stopped off in Delhi and came to Vrindavan just so that she could get Prabhupada's blessings for that project. So when she arrived, Prabhupada had just sat down and was just beginning to take his prasadam. So normally, if somebody came to see Prabhupada, if he was eating, we would ask them to wait. And Prabhupada, he liked to sit and eat on his own, very quietly, contemplatively, without any disturbance. But as soon as he heard that Jamuna had arrived, he said, bring her in. And he had her come and sit down next to him. And he told me to bring a plate. And then he took prasadam off his own plate and put it on her plate. And then very happily, for about an hour, they sat there taking prasadam together and chatting away about different Krishna conscious projects. So I think that's a good mark of Prabhupada's regard for Jamuna, that, you know, he didn't want to keep her waiting. He had to come and share his prasadam with him. So that was very, very nice. And I think I'll just finish, since we don't have a lot of time, I'll just finish with one other reference point so we can understand something about Jamuna's exalted position as Prabhupada's servant. In 1976, we were in New York, and we were just coming back from a morning walk. I think Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Rameshwara Swami, they were all in the car. And a question was asked to Srila Prabhupada that when Krishna appears in different places, then he's always accompanied by his entourage of, you know, close associates, and they help him with his mission. So they asked, is that the same with the spiritual master? When he appears, does he have also associates that travel with him to help him with his mission? So Prabhupada said, yes, just like Krishna. So I was very happy to hear Dina Tarani's comment there about Jamuna's last prayer, that wherever Srila Prabhupada is, that's where I want to go. And it did make me think that, of course, at the time, you know, when I heard that comment from Prabhupada in 76, I was thinking, you know, maybe in terms of the big sannyasis or the GBCs, you know, these people must have, you know, come there to assist Prabhupada. And of course, Prabhupada did make the comment that he regarded his disciples as having been sent to him by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to help him spread his mission. But now I can very clearly understand that Jamuna Devi must be part of that special entourage of devotees who travel with Srila Prabhupada wherever he's gone to preach, and they come with him so that they can help him to establish Krishna consciousness for the fallen conditioned souls. So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jamuna Devi ki jai.
Thank you, Harisarai Prabhu. I had the good fortune of visiting the Radha Gopinath temple in Chaupati with Jamuna. And as Jamuna Prabhu had so much love and respect and admiration for Radhanath Swami, she also had so much love and respect and admiration for the Vaishnavas who were serving at the Radha Gopinath temple in Chaupati. So at this time, would I like to ask Krishna Chandra Prabhu, who is one of those prominent devotees from that Radha Gopinath temple, to please come forward and speak some words in glorification of Jamuna Prabhu. And also, while he's coming, I would like to express for all of us how we're grateful for the gorgeous decorations in the Krishna Balaram temple. Thank you to the managers and whoever has done this to glorify Jamuna. It's truly extraordinary.
Our family's first interaction with Yamuna Prabhu was when she visited Mumbai Radha Gopinath temple, and she very graciously agreed to attend our daughter's marriage. It was in 2006, and she was not expecting, but during the time of the ceremonies, in addition to His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, when we requested her to speak a few words, which is not usual, but which was, of course, very special for us, and she agreed, and when she gave her wonderful instructions to the bridal couple, officially, right from that time, she had such a amazing impact on all the devotees, including myself and our family. I think everyone has said the same thing, so, but just because I felt it the same way, I would like to repeat it, that you know, she had that amazing way of connecting to individuals, to every living entity, as if you know, she was the real well-wisher and very concerned, very caring. She was, to me, a great inspiration and really a personification of tremendous enthusiasm, tremendous dedication, and her, you know, she was so melodious in everything she did, not just the singing. In everything, she could be very unexpected, but also at the same time, invariably, you know, very, very personal. During the time she spent at Bhaktivedanta Hospital, when we got a chance to interact with her, and you know, she had mentioned that she'd now be moving to Florida for her health, and you know, she had to also lose weight. So you know, she and even I also had to lose weight. So did my wife. So she was insisting that when it would come, we'll all go swimming, because she was doing walking in the pool, and she said it's very effective. I'd never heard this concept, but apparently it did help her for some time. So then after that, she wrote in 2-3 letters also, giving description of the pool, saying, you know, where you could go and where my wife could come with her. And so she took everything so seriously. One amazing thing about her was her way of communication. You know, people can be eloquent and articulate, but it was not that. She really, if you read her letters, any letters, you know, it was as if she put her heart in the letters. So everyone who received the letter, and you know, would feel as if she had so much in everything she did, so much affection. For instance, when my wife would send her some dresses for her, jewelry for her deities, her love for her deities was so amazing that she would reciprocate, giving her deep gratitude, you know, as if it, making us feel as if we've done something tremendous. But in addition, she would give such detailed descriptions with the pictures of the deities, and you know, wearing the same dress or the same jewelry, with the photographs and long descriptions, and we could see how much her love for her deities was so palpable. So anything that she wrote was always very Krishna conscious. She was completely, she was so vibrantly Krishna conscious, but at the same time she was also very personal. It was not just philosophy, it was always caring, concerned about all. Every time she would write about different members of her family, including my grandson, ask how is he doing, you know, and always she would be putting herself in such a humble position that she is, as if she's received a lot and that she's very grateful. The last communication we had received was about 4 or 5 days before she departed, and she said she was so keen, extremely keen to attend our son's marriage, which happened last 2 months ago, and of course we told her how much we would be waiting for that, anxiously waiting for that. But again, in that also, the way she gave her blessings and her deep feelings for all the members. And 1 year after she, on the 11th of December, which is about 5 or 6 days before she left this planet, that was the anniversary of her arrival in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Now, I don't think any one of us even remembered, but she took it so, she was so grateful for this, even though everyone in the hospital was extremely, they considered it the greatest honor that she came and they gave an opportunity to serve her. But she remembered, and she wrote such a beautiful letter to several doctors who are also here, and probably they would be able to elaborate on it, saying that today is my first anniversary when I came there, and detailing her how much she benefited from the hospital in such great lengths 1 year later. So I mean, it was as if, like, we remember Prabhupada's appearance day, she remembered a date she came to the hospital. So that was her mode, you know, so much was her, that anything anyone did for her, the smallest thing, if she felt it was too much, and she was extremely grateful, and she was very, very eloquent in expressing her gratitude and love, such a way that actually it captured anyone who read that. So that was what she was really, you know, what she's left a mark on all of us. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Krishna Chandra Prabhu. I would like to ask his good wife, Radha Priya Prabhu, to please come and speak some words in glorification and remembrance of Jamuna Prabhu.
Om Agyan Timirandasya Chananjanan Shalakya Chakshurun Minitandina Tashmaya Sri Vinmaha. I think Jamuna Devi is the longest standing pujari. She's actually my guru. She taught me to worship the deities in Mayapur. And I got initiation in Mayapur. And then. So she was my first guru, and I've always respected her as such. To be in Jamuna Devi's presence, it was just like being in Prabhupada's presence. It was like you had to talk about Prabhupada. That was it. It was no question of any other subject matter. You just had to talk to Prabhupada. Like they, you know, they were inseparable, Srila Prabhupada and Jamuna. I first met her in 1971. I just walked off the street in Calcutta Temple. But they, Jamuna and Guru Das and the others, they were so affectionate and so welcoming, so warming to come in to the, to the temple. And, I guess Guru Das could sum me up very well, and he looked at me and he said, "Peace, brother." And I said, "Peace, brother." And they just felt, made me feel so good, like part of the family, you know. Come in, and I felt these, I was looking for beautiful people, beautiful environment. And I thought I found it in these people. They have everything, they have the perfect philosophy. And so then just, you just had, it's such a nice family feeling, you had to stay there. I had to stay. I never left. But the last time I saw her, and she started offering prayer. I can't repeat the humility she had, what she said in her prayer, how she was describing herself in humility, and I was smiling and laughing. And then she walked away. You know, like in the middle of saying something, she just walked up. And I walked, and then she was doing a little dance. Kind of, some little strange, little funky dance, and she was, and then she started circumambulating me, and I was turning around, where's she going? And then she came back again. Anyway, it was a nice exchange. She says that, yeah, she said, you know, we don't have to, she expressed, you know, we don't have to share, you know, those old memories and affections, and that we can, just by seeing in your eye, like we can understand that, like, you know, it's summarized. We didn't have to go back and say, you know, all the, how we met and things like that. She had such a loving glance, and she was looking at me, and we didn't have to say anything. There's once that when she came, after she left India with Prabhupada, she didn't come back for many, many years. And then finally she came, and she came to Mayapur, and she said, "I have to tell you the story." She said, "When I was in Vrindavan with Guru Das, we were making Krishna Balaram temple here, and then I went to Bombay to see Srila Prabhupada to ask him some instructions and..." So she started to explain, and Srila Prabhupada said, "So," he said, "you can make Radhe Shyam Sundar, they can be life-size." And she said, "But Srila Prabhupada, they're already made. You can't make life-size?" I said, "No, Srila Prabhupada." "Well, you can get the Astashakti then, you can make Astashakti life-size." She said, "But Prabhupada, the deities have already been made, the altar's been made, and Vishakha and Lalita, you can make life-size." said, no, Prabhupada, everything's already been made into a small size. And then Prabhupada didn't say anything else about this. And then she told me, she said, here, look, there was Radha Madhava and the Astashaki. He said, this is what Prabhupada was talking about. This is what Prabhupada was visualizing with Vrindavan and Mayapur and on different. He said, this is exactly what Prabhupada told me he wanted. Life-size Radha Krishna and Astashaki. Tumuna Mata Jiki. Jaya. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to Nani Vas Prabhu. I would like to invite the son-in-law of Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Mukunda, to please come and say a few words in glorification of Jamuna. Mukunda Prabhu is not going to speak just now. He'll speak a little later. Srinathji Prabhu, can you please come forward and speak something about your realizations of Her Grace Jamuna Devi Dasi?
Hare Krishna. With your permission, Maharaj. I didn't know I had to speak. Yamuna Mataji and Dina Taridhi Mataji were kind enough to stay at our house when they had come for darshans at Radha Gopinath temple, the invitation of Radhanath Maharaj. It was our great pleasure and privilege to have them as our house guest. Originally, I think it was in somewhere in 1973 or 74, Giridhar Maharaj gave me the first, it used to be a cassette tape of Yamuna Mataji's singing, including the Govindam prayers. And that's how, I had never met her, never seen her picture, but I heard her. And I thought this was a sound and singing from the spiritual world. It didn't seem earthly, from this earth. And I kept on playing that tape till it was, I think, totally worn out. And every day, I remember that. And when I heard that Yamuna Mataji would be coming, I think she came here to Vrindavan. My father-in-law, that's Krishna Chandra's father, and we, my wife and some others, we came down here, and there was no temple here, but they had just bought this land. This was Raman Rethi extension. And Guru Das Prabhu was here, and he was explaining what a wonderful project this would be coming up. This was the first introduction I had to Vrindavan. This must have been in 1975 or 76. Yamuna Mataji was very fired up, was very capable, and I thought she was Shakti personified. This was my first impression of her. In our philosophy, Shakti is feminine, but the soul is of course feminine, but I thought that she embodied this philosophy. And she was such a powerful person, very, very sweet, capable, but at the same time she was very powerful. I remember one time she got angry with me. She was very annoyed because I was trying to praise her. And I don't know if Vishwarup, you were there? You told me that she was upset with me, right? And I had to apologize to her. You told me to apologize to her. that I transgressed our relationship with Yamuna Mataji by being a little too informal, I think. Is that correct, Vishwaroop? And the moment you told me, we were in the, actually we were, I was acting, I was going to be on the stage for one of those plays. And Vishwaroop told me at that time, was it in the theater? And then I immediately sent an SMS because we couldn't talk to her. She was so kind that she immediately sent back a reply. I was shocked. And I didn't realize that she was good at SMS and, you know, these modern techniques also. She immediately thanked and said, I don't take personal anything. She was so kind, very kind. Particularly my wife loved her too much. And thank you.
Thank you very much, Srinathji Prabhu. I would like to invite now some of the doctors who have so kindly come from Bhaktivedanta Hospital, who served Yamuna there when she went for treatment. Dwarkadish Prabhu, will you please come forward and say some words?
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshrumitamaya Tasmai Shri Guru Vendamaha. It's a very clear memory. The month of December, early in the morning at around 6:30, we were called to the hospital, Yamuna Devi's arrival. I don't know if this was already spoken, but her arrival was very special in the sense that the flight was supposed to reach at 5:30 at the airport, and it arrived at 5 o'clock. And the driver had not reached there, and she walked out of the waiting lobby having nobody there to receive her. And she had already had a very, very extremely difficult journey from, I think, Canada, America, and then Singapore. And she was in a very bad state. She was choking up. She was not able to breathe, not able to walk. So she just came out of the airport and she started loudly singing the Govindam prayers. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, just helplessly calling out to Krishna. And some taxi driver came and said, Bhaktivedanta the hospital? This must be Paramatma. There's no other way it could have happened. I said, yes. And she just jumped into his taxi, and the taxi brought her to Bhaktivedanta hospital. When she came, her blood pressure was 190 by 130. And I saw her for the first time. I was very surprised. Her lungs were choked up. She was in cardiac failure. She was bloated up, overloaded with fluid. All over the body was swollen. She was extremely breathless. Oxygen levels in the body were low. And everything was in disarray. I put her in the ICU. And we tried to help her. Even through all those difficulties, what comes up most prominently is that she was always very, very warm and affectionate. And that she was going through so much. Actually, medically speaking, we were told later on that she had this difficulty in breathing disorder called as OSA, Obstructive Sleep Apnea Syndrome, which she must have suffered for so many years, not even knowing that she is not able to breathe in the night because of her bodily structure. And she is choking up, choking up, choking up, and her heart was failing every day practically. Till, and surprisingly, even at Canada, they did not diagnose her. It was a case of medical neglect. And then only when she came here, we realized that this is the major problem with her, that all her organs are failing, her kidneys and her heart and lungs are failing because she's not able to breathe. She has no oxygen in her body for last more than 10 years, practically. And immediately the Srinathji Prabhu called for the machine, and then we give it to her. And then she started breathing normally for the first time in several years. And I believe that must have given her at least that extra time which she was with us in this world. She stayed on the fifth floor of the hospital, and I had this very special privilege of seeing her practically every day. I would finish my work by evening, 7 o'clock or so, 7:30. And then, because I needed more time with her, so I would go and see her in her room. And it was a very special feeling entering her room and offering obeisances to that floor, and knowing that this is the dust which adorns her lotus feet, is on this floor. And she would be very, very motherly with me. Very, very motherly. She was a mother. And she would praise my tie, she would praise my attire. Said she, how smart looking I am. She had this very wonderful nature of making me feel important and good. We began a treatment. It was a difficult case, and on Radha Maharaj's instruction and the consent of all the devotees, we took her to the best doctors in Mumbai, best of cardiologist, best of nephrologist. We had to take her to Jaslok. So we did whatever medically was best, and then, you know, we put all this data together and tried to give her whatever maximum help we could, and we were successful. In 3.5 months, we could get her moving, and she was much better in breathing. Her blood pressure was completely controlled. She lost about, I think, almost about 12 to 15 kilos of fluid from her body was lost. She was, so there was more than about 30 pounds of weight was lost. So all that was very useful. So we were happy that, you know, we had probably the, in the female body, we had probably the most important guest in our hospital in so many years to serve, and all of us, they were very, very happy and to get her affection. She took a very special flavor of in addressing me in a very special way. After we did this drama, we did this presentation on Ladini Devi's life called Legacy of Love, where I had this cruel role to play of Johnson, who was the murderer of this exalted soul, Ladini Devi. So I was playing that role, and then she wanted to come into the auditorium and be there and see this performance. She was so eager, she was so fired up that my doctor is doing this role. So she wanted to be there and see us. But medically we sort of disclaimed her from coming, and she stayed back, and she was looking live at the, you know, online. She was looking at the laptop. So next day she came in the morning and said, so looking for me throughout the whole drama, where was I, and was on a very different attire, wearing a different wig and all that, different attire, was a very demonic looking fellow. And then she came next day and said, Dr. Johnston. Dr. Johnston, she reinitiated me to that name. Ever since then, whenever she would see me, she would say, this is Dr. Johnston. And she was so excited that I could play a role like that, you know, so cruel, so hateful, so despiteful, so so ugly. And that endeared her and endeared us to both us to each other in a more intimate manner. Many things to be said, but we'll be brief. I want to speak about the last day when she was there with us. And the last day, it was very, 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 very special. We arranged in the auditorium a large table, a long table, and all the devotees who were her servants during that time, we all sat around in the table. The table was beautifully decorated with flowers and bouquets and strings and strips. And Dhintare Mataji was so gracious. As each and every servant was entering the auditorium where she was already seated, she would garland us with a ribbon and a nice rose. And we all sort of felt, oh, this is a very special event. I didn't know what I was to expect, but oh. And then we all sat around this beautiful decorated table. And she asked Rupa Manjari to start singing one particular tune of the holy name, the Maha Mantra. And then each and every devotee then sat the same tune, you know, like that, one after another. Like that. Went on for a long time, and it was... of course, everyone was looking at Yamuna Devi at that time because her eyes were completely closed and she was deeply absorbed in chanting the holy name of the Lord with, I believe, a lot of love for Krishna And through that chanting, she was expressing a lot of love for us and type of gratitude she was feeling for all of us who had served her, and we were feeling gratitude for having been able to serve her. So it's a reception of a lot of love was there. And then she was so kind, she made gifts for all of us. She made paper bags and she had different gifts for all of us, different things she had put in. And with her own, and her handwriting was very beautiful also, just like her singing. So each and every paper bag was with her own hands, two and so, like that. And I was very eager to know what is in my bag, because I knew it would be very special. I was looking forward to that, and she gave me this bag and I opened it up, and it was a beautiful picture of Prabhupada smiling. And that gave me such deep satisfaction. Because I knew that in serving her, Prabhupada was happy with me. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Dwarkadish Prabhu, for that very moving remembrance. I'd like to ask Vishwaroop Prabhu to please come forward, also from Bhaktivedanta Hospital.
It was our greatest fortune to have Yamuna Mataji with us. And I was looking after the support services like prasadam and clothing and so many other requirements that she had. And I could see that she was so simple, and her requirements, she was always embarrassed. Whatever we do, she would be really embarrassed. I know Maharaj said that she wanted to leave because so many devotees were serving her. And she was so grateful. We had a great job in searching for her organic, you know, ahimsa clothes for her. It's a great adventure that we had. Right from Jaipur to Gujarat to all over Bombay, we searched, and finally she was very happy finally when she got that organic ahimsa cloths. We made about 6 pairs of dresses for her. She was really, really happy. And I also remember when she went from hospital, I had the fortune of accompanying her in the car, and the driver who was driving her, she had made such wonderful relations with him. He was a kind of a budding devotee, and he drove her to hospitals and other places like regularly, and she had such loving relationship with him that I could see what a magnanimous and large personality she was, heart-wise, to affect a very simple person like that. And while going in the car, she sang full Govindam prayers with us, right from hospital to the airport. And she made the driver also sing. We all sang together. I was feeling so fortunate that the record, the song that is such a world famous song that all of us sing, the only lady devotee whose voice is being broadcasted all over the world at 7:15 in the morning, that same lady, Mataji devotee, is singing live for us. I was saying this is the greatest of blessing of Prabhupada on us, to have such a intimate experience. Then she sang Narsingha prayers, and then she made me call His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj in the car, and she was glorifying each and every devotee in the conversation. Whatever little conversation from half the distance to the airport, she was saying these beautiful devotees have taken such good care of me, I'm so grateful to them. And they were interacting on the phone. I was feeling very fortunate to be there. And she gave us so much of love. In the guise of having so much of fluid on her body, she let me touch her feet so many times to see the pitting edema. And it was her kindness. And she was very, very motherly, very overwhelmingly vatsalya I could feel through her. And I want to narrate to you in brief about, she didn't come, this is the first time. Before that, many years back, she had come for the first time. And she was standing in the Shikshashtakam prayers that we sing 4 times in the day, every day before the shift of service begins. And when she entered, somehow that prayer was going on, and she came, and she was simply weeping and weeping and weeping all throughout through the prayers, and then she distributed the prasadam, which we distribute after the prayers with our own hands to all the people and employees who were there. And I remember that visit of hers, that I never saw her not crying. Constantly she was crying all throughout. When my wife would cook for her, she would eat that, and every morsel she would just close her eyes and eat and glorify, and next morsel and glorify and cry and eat and cry and eat. I remember that scene very distinctly. And that time only I had understood that this must be definitely Bhav. Bhav? No, we don't know Bhav. We just read in Rupa Goswami's book. But I could see personally what Bhav must have been or could have been or maybe it is through the personality of Yamuna Mataji. And I cannot imagine how one can be ecstatically crying every moment all throughout the number of days that she stayed. It was 2001. The time that earthquake had taken place in Gujarat, you know, and she came, and I had to leave to Gujarat for some time. But she was all the time interacting with devotees with tears in eyes. She was so appreciative of the devotees that Prabhupada's movement had created, and she was thanking Prabhupada again and again. So it was the greatest fortune of ours. We are not actually qualified, but somehow she gave us the dignity and that happiness and bliss by being there for such a long time. She stayed for 3.5 months. And there are so many details of those stay, but we had the opportunity to serve her. I remember one time somebody told her that, "So Mataji, did you enjoy the prasad?" So what is the meaning of enjoyment? We are never supposed to enjoy prasad. We are supposed to only serve the prasad by honoring it. Such a, you know, startling statement she made. And also another time she was so embarrassed that we are all cooking for her and so many Matajis are engaged and so many are coordinating for her. So she said, no, I will now cook myself. So we all discussed and we said, okay, let us make her comfortable. If she is so uncomfortable, our job is to make her comfortable. So she brought all the ingredients and set up a kitchen in the room. And then some Matajis who were cooking for her, they had lost their service, so they were with her to help her in cooking. And she actually demonstrated the cooking and how one should meditate deeply on Krishna's satisfaction while doing that cooking. She was demonstrating, and finally when she finished the item, she said, "Now offer it to Krishna and then Krishna will be very pleased." You know. But we were sure that the way she cooked it, Krishna must have honored while getting cooked only. The way she demonstrated her personal example, so beautiful it was. You know, so beautiful. And I think she presented me a grater with a rock salt in a nicely labeled, hand-written thing. And that event, which Vakash Prabhu was explaining, that it's an unforgettable event. That she was so personal, she had enlisted a big, big, big list, and everybody had received handwritten, loving, small gift, most treasurable thing in our life. But more than that gift, whatever it was, the love was so overwhelming, you know, it would suffice for the whole life that she had expressed for all of us. And I will be ever grateful to Srila Prabhupada, to my Gurudev, Radhanath Maharaj and Krishna. It was an impossible thing, but at least in the end of her life, we had such close interaction and we could relish her personal association. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Ve Jamuna Mataji ki jai.
Thank you very much, Vishwarup Prabhu, for that unique look at Jamuna's stay at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. There's one devotee that's been serving here at Krishna Balaram Mandir since the 70s, Deva Shakti Prabhu, who has had many interactions with Jamuna over those many years. Could she please come forward and speak something?
I feel like we have a sister community in Chaupati. Just hearing those devotees and how they're thinking of Jamuna Devi, it's very personal, very intimate. So I'll just tell a couple of stories. I don't really like to talk about Jamuna Devi because I just choke up. But I'll try and talk about some lighter stories to just show you her personality and how she interacted with the devotees she was living with. One thing that comes to mind is that we have a yearly Rath Yatra festival in Sharanagati. Of course, it's very small. But what happens is we have a busload and a whole caravan of devotees from the Vancouver temple, maybe 100, 200 people that come up. So Jamuna Devi wanted to organize some kind of entertainment for the guests that were coming. And she wanted it to be very Sharanagati-ish. She started a band. It was called Sharanagati Rocks. And it was a choir, a cappella choir, which means no instruments. We would just sing. Except there were two instruments. One was stones. So you take these two stones, and you, one, two, three. And the other was sticks. It's one, two, three with the sticks. And so she orchestrated this kirtan with sticks and stones. So when the visitors came to Sharanagati, we could serenade them with the holy name in this very unusual style. So it was typical in the sense that this was a person who just loved Krishna consciousness. And she just made it fun. You didn't even think you were performing devotional service. In that case, it wasn't just the performance with the sticks and the rocks. It was all the practice, how we would gather and sing together. So it was joyful. And I have another memory of Jamuna I can share, that we have this, we had an older temple, which was a house, whatever. And we'd have a Sunday program there. And I remember one time, this was the only time I ever saw Jamuna Devi dancing. Because, well, for one thing, she very rarely led a kirtan. But for some reason, I don't even know what the occasion was, she was leading the kirtan. And she started dancing. And it was very slow at first, you know, going back and forth and back and swaying this way and that way. And of course, as kirtan often does, it just suddenly became something. You know, where did this come from? We're suddenly in Vaikuntha. And her dancing was just heavenly, just delightful. Her movements were so graceful. So I wasn't surprised to find out sometime later, Dina Tarani said that she had actually trained in ballet. So if you take that combination of some kind of natural training and you combine it with love of God and a kirtan, you can just imagine what this dancing was like. So these are some very fond memories I have of Jamuna. And also we had a Chaitanya Charitamrita reading once a week in her home in the evening, which went on for years and years and years. And we would gather for an hour and a half exactly and read Chaitanya Charitamrita. And once we would go through the entire book, at the end she would cook a feast, you know, in honor of. Or if we were at some particular point in the Bhagavad Chaitanya Charitamrita, for example, describing the cooking of Raghava Pandit, she would say, we must have a feast for this. So I'm sure that many devotees can confirm this to be true. But her cooking was, you can't even explain it, right? It is what transcendental food is. It's just extraordinary. So we had the great honor of having that. And she actually taught cooking to the children in our little community. And they may get a chance to explain this, but she didn't really teach cooking. The whole class, the focus of the whole thing was the attitude about cooking and trying to explain that to the younger people, that this is what makes prasadam, prasadam. So she taught them the fine art of cooking without even really much cooking. Maybe some rice taught them to make, but that was her focus, that really understand what is prasadam and what is devotion. And so it wasn't just to the young people, she shared that with the adults also. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Jagannath Prabhu. So now it is noon. It's time for us to proceed to the Goshala, where there'll be a samadhi ceremony in honor of Jamuna Devi Dasi. And then we reassemble after that. There'll be prasadam after that ceremony. And then we will reassemble at 5 p.m. in the Balaram Hall. And we request everyone to please come on time, or even a little bit early, because we're going to start with a very special recording of Jamuna singing in honor of Srila Prabhupada. Perhaps a recording you have not heard before in English. Prabhupada's prayer, adore, adore ye this happy day. So please come to the Balaram Hall at 5 p.m. And now we will proceed to the Goshala. Thank you so much for coming. All glories to Jamuna Devi Dasi. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.